Morning, everybody. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to start this morning. Matthew chapter 6, starting in about verse 24. Jesus speaking, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This morning's encouragement is about setting priorities, to establish by order of importance or urgency. Setting priorities. Now, most of us do this pretty good on a regular basis. You know, if you got to go to the market and the market's 20 miles away and you jump in your vehicle and you turn the key and the gas gauge goes well, I guess I need some gas before I can get to the market. Oh, well, I guess I'm going to need some money or a credit card to get some gas before I try to get there. Otherwise, it may not work out well for you. You may not get groceries. God, too, is a God of priorities. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Picking up in about verse 35. "Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him," meaning Jesus, "a question, testing him, saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" In Exodus 23:19, it also says, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." Again, due order and the priority of things. Even the high priest under the Old Testament had priorities in his preparations. In Hebrews 7:27, it says, "As those high priests offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's." The gospel was first taken to the Jews and then later to the Gentiles. Didn't Paul say in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And didn't Jesus bring the gospel first? Hebrews 2:3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" There's a certain order that we follow each day. You have your own little routine. Maybe you make your coffee first and then you read your Bible. Or maybe you shower first and then get your coffee and then you read. Or maybe you exercise first and then shower, then coffee, then read. Whatever the process is that you follow, it's a routine and there's a certain priority in your mind. For some folks, going to work is a priority. That's just some folks, not all folks. And it's a pretty high priority. It seems like you got to go to work. But, you know, even still, it's your decision to go or not to go. And it depends on how high of a priority it is for you. So spiritual issues have their pattern and priorities also. In Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 23, picking up in about verse 25, Jesus speaking, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." And there are some principles that need to be mastered before you can move on. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I'll get there. Hebrews 5, picking up in about verse 12. The Hebrew writer writing to the young church says, starting in verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Sort of a clue that we need to be in a constant stage of growth. And there's a reason for that, because there's accountability. Because judgment begins where? According to Peter, 1 Peter 4:17, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Even in the spiritual realm, there's priorities and procedures. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Setting priorities. You know, I haven't had too much difficulty doing that, and I think the Marine Corps recognized when they were deciding my military occupational specialty, they put me in logistics. And logistics is basically beans, bandages, and bullets. You know, if you got to move two battalions of Marines or expeditionary force, and you have all these different components to it, how are you going to move them? You're going to move them by air, you're going to move them by land, you're going to move them by sea. And if you're going to move them by sea, how are you going to get them to the ships? And then once it's in the ships, how are you going to load the ship so when it comes off the ship, it comes off in a decent order? You know, in other words, if you're making an assault on the beach, you don't want the cooking ovens to come off first. That's probably not a good idea. You probably want something much more useful. So the people who load those ships have to make plans to do that, and that's all part of logistics. It's establishing priorities. So one of the first things you may want to come off them ships is maybe some ammunition, and then followed up with some larger guns like cannons, and then you want the ammo for those to come off. It's all a matter of setting priorities. I have met people in my life that have a hard time with priorities. It's maybe just how they're built, I don't know. But if there's five things that need to be done, in their mind, all five are completely equal. And they don't know where to begin. Because it's all equal in their mind, and they can't figure out, well, look, if I need to sweep the floor, I need to get the broom. Well, if the floor needs to be mopped, should I start with the mop first, or should I go get the broom first and sweep the floor before I mop? I made the mistake one time of saying something like, you know, most people dust before they vacuum, and half the women in here gave me grief. You vacuum before you dust, and I still don't understand that. But, you know, it's a matter of priorities. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Has some other news regarding priorities. starting in verse 1, it says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember when I was still with you that I told you these things?" He told them, hey, don't fret about this. Don't worry about it. There's certain things that are going to happen before the coming of the Lord. In Matthew 13, Jesus gave the explanation of the wheat and the tares. Matthew 13, starting about verse 37. Jesus speaking, he answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy has sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Well, who would that be for? Maybe for somebody who got their priorities wrong. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Picking out in about verse 57, it says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and having looked back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Turn over to Luke 14, starting in about verse 16. Jesus again, "Then he said to him, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.'" They had gotten the cares of this world as a higher priority than to come to the master's table. I wonder if it was this table that they were referring to. Could you get your priorities wrong? I'm going to rattle off a few scriptures now, so bear with me. Matthew 13 and 22. "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. 2 Timothy 3:4, "Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Matthew 10:37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." John 12:42, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?" Ephesians 5:11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." And lastly, James chapter 4, James chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. A bundle of warnings on a variety of different issues, things that people can get engaged in where all of a sudden their earthly priorities have overwhelmed their spiritual priorities. Well, how can you keep your spiritual priorities where they need to be? So this is another series of possibilities. How do you get your spiritual priority to give generously? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, picking up in about... No, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 8, picking up in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 8, 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. You want to give generously? Give yourself first to the Lord. Be totally committed to Him, and the generosity will flow. How about to be forgiven? We must first forgive. In Matthew 6:14, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And you could tie those two together. Giving to God and forgiving in Matthew chapter 5, picking up in about verse 23. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." How about helping our brothers? Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Picking up in about verse 39. "And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. To receive anything from God, we must also have confidence in Him. James 1 and 5 says, 'If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea and driven by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.'" And even partaking of this memorial feast that we have here, 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body in the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And to be able to see the Lord one day, we must be pure in heart. Matthew 5 and 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Hebrews 12 and 14, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." And to receive the crown of life, we must be faithful until death. Revelations 2 and 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. If you look back at all these different processes for prioritization, even of our own salvation, what do you see? Well, first we had the gospel. Then we had to accept what we heard. Then we repented and confessed, and before we were immersed into Christ. We don't teach baptism before we teach them about Jesus being the Son of God and God's awesome plan for reconciling us to himself. We wouldn't teach holy living without first explaining that we have a need to have our sins remitted. It's a matter of priority and the due order of things. Each of us has to make the decision of what is going to be a priority in our life. We're talking with the young adults this morning in class. Talked about this building. Talked about that school. And what we went through as we came to the decision to even have this building out here in the middle of the cornfield. The big decision we made regarding having a school. And I'm going to pick on some of you old guys just for a second, because I was trying to get them to see they are not far from the age that we were at when we made some of these decisions. I'm looking at Troy. Yeah. I think we computed you were 35 when the decision was made to start the school. And you remember 35? It was a while ago. Blaine, do you remember how old you were? Blaine was 25, according to our imprecise calculations. I was a young sprig, 42. Jerry was about 43 or 44. Hey.
I'm only a couple months older than you.
That's what I said.
That sounded like 2 years. Carry on.
Carry on. Moving right along. But what was it that was in our mind that we made these crazy decisions to have that building built, or to pull our kids out of public school, away from their friends, and listen to all the heartache that went along with that, and the cost of bringing them here and paying for their tuition and paying for their paces and paying for their school clothes, uniforms. It was something that we decided in our mind was a high priority. It was a spiritual priority. It was something God would be pleased with, that we would take our children and attempt to give them a godly upbringing. It became a high priority in our mind. And then our body followed, and our checkbook followed right after that. Because it wasn't cheap. It was not cheap. Spiritual priorities. Getting a big picture of what God would want for us to do. And then moving out in faith to do it. I've been harping at these young people for some time now, and I told them, I said, you know, maybe it's like in my household. I say something once and nobody hears me. I say it twice and they said, what did he say? And I say it about the third time, and now, oh, well, it must be true because he said it three times. And that's what I'm trying to communicate to them and communicate to you. You can do a lot for the Lord if it becomes your priority in your mind. You can't make it equal with the things of this world. You can't be like that young Lance Corporal that couldn't make up his mind whether or not he should go get a broom or start swabbing the floor, because he knew the swabbing the floor had to be done, but most people would sweep it first because otherwise the swab just moves it into mud and you just move it around. He couldn't establish the priorities. He thought all things were equal. Well, I got to sweep the floor and I got to swab the floor. Maybe if I mop it first after it dries, then I can sweep up the mud. And I'm still not picking on you ladies, but I still dust before I vacuum. It only makes sense to me. If you're knocking down big old dust balls from your ceiling fan, it's going to fall to the deck. and then you vacuum. But there are some people that believe, oh no, you need to vacuum first. Why? I don't get it. Anyway, moving on.
Let it go.
I just got to let that one go. So now I'm going to talk about something and try to bring this right down into your living room, to make this about as real as I can, to get you to see the necessity of being firm in your mind when it comes to spiritual priorities. And I'm going to talk about one of the smallest things possible. I want to talk about reading your Bible. I'm not talking about building a school. I'm not talking about, you know, raising $10,000 and starting a new mission work somewhere in a foreign land and you got to be the person. I'm talking about just reading your Bible. So here we go. You ready? This is a simple example of having the best intentions to read the Bible in the morning. And then it doesn't happen because the Bible does not have the highest priority in your mind. It has an equal priority with the things of this world. And these are my examples. It's a non-work day, meaning you don't have to go slave somewhere. You're at home. And you just took your shower, and your intention is to get your Bible reading done before the day takes off on you. You're on your way to the washing machine with your dirty clothes, and you see there's enough clothes to start a load for washing. And it'll only take a minute to start the washer, so you choose to do that before your daily Bible reading. On the way back to your reading area, you notice that someone used a bowl for cereal and did not wash it. And you know it will get crusty and hard if it's not washed right now. And besides, it will only take a minute. And then you notice that no one has taken out the garbage bag, and it's getting full. And well, it'll only take a minute to take it out and get a new bag put in. And oh yeah, the garbage man is coming today, so you should take the barrel out to the road, and besides, that'll only take a minute. And on the way back in, you think, oh yeah, I need to get something out of the freezer for dinner before I forget, and it'll only take a minute. And on the way down to the freezer, you try and decide what you're going to take out, and you pick something, and then you say, oh, well, I'm going to need some things to go along with this, so I better make a list before I forget to go to the store. And besides, it's only going to take a minute. The dog had spilled his water out of the bowl, and it might be a slipping hazard, and besides, it's only going to take a minute to wipe it up. And oh, there's that pile of newspapers that I need to get back out to the trash barrel before the garbage man gets here, and besides, it's only going to take a minute. And the phone just rang, and you were invited to meet some friends for coffee, and there should be enough time to get the lawn mowed after you get back and before dinner needs to be made, and besides, you can do your Bible reading this evening. Spiritual priorities need to be the highest priority. Much more important than taking out the trash or getting that load of laundry done or washing them dishes. It's going to take mental discipline to do that because you've been doing it that way for years. You see things that need to be taken care of and you say, well, there's no time like the present. But the difference is you're missing out on that spiritual priority of reading your scriptures on a daily basis because you have allowed the things of your house and household to have a higher priority than reading God's word. This happens to me too. That's why I'm sharing it. Well, you thought the only thing I made up was a dog thing. I ain't got a dog. All the rest of it I'm very familiar with. It's going to take discipline to ignore the dishes in the sink or the trash that needs to be taken out, but make sure that God's things are taken care of first. So that, in closing, as you go forth this week, try and keep track of your spiritual priorities and your activities. And think about the things that God would be pleased with. Reading, studying, praying, good works for others, etc. Maybe you will be pleased with your efforts. Maybe you won't, but either way, look to improve your spiritual prioritization of your activities. Don't let the world drive you. You take care of God's things, and he said he will take care of yours. The opening scripture, Matthew 7:25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And in Matthew 7:33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things shall be added to you. Was it a challenge for us to get this school up and running? Didn't we have a lot of volunteers, such as Teresa and Lori Cass, and Helen Melanowski, Karen Miller? Hi, Patty. Patty, Mrs. Culver, Tom Parker, Steve Doty, and all the other people that helped out with devotions on a regular basis, Troy, Rick, took time. You made the time because it was a spiritual priority, giving to the kids the things that they needed. We haven't lost that. We just have this little hiccup. There's a whole new batch of kids coming. Yep. Blaine Olmsted seems to think I should be the next school administrator. I think he's crazy. But there's somebody out here that's going to do it if the school starts back up. Make it a spiritual priority to think about the things that will be pleasing to God this week. Put them ahead of mowing the lawn and taking the trash out and feeding the dog and cleaning up after the dog. Get your life organized about serving God instead of serving this world. And God says he'll take care of all them other things. Thanks for your attention. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer.